Well, good morning. Are you glad you're in church today? I am. I'm glad you're here too. Preaching to an empty room is very fun, but there's not a lot of feedback to it, you know? So, hey, I want to talk to you today about, I thought the graphic that that we put together is pretty cool. Legendary Dad. Look at that, kind of a Star Wars kind of a theme. I was thinking about putting all the scripture and, you know, kind of scroll up like, you know, the story in Star Wars, but, oh well, I have all kinds of crazy ideas. But I wanted to tell you, just take a few minutes to tell you about my dad. My dad, in my mind, he's a legend. He's a hero. Growing up, my dad's father, my grandfather, who I never met, died when he was about 12 years old. And so he never really had a dad through some difficult teenage years, right? And we all know, those of you who have teenagers, it's difficult, right? And so my dad, he really struggled in school. He never graduated high school. He made it to seventh grade. He joined the Navy. He was a Golden Gloves boxer in the Navy, undefeated. Well, I don't know if he's undefeated or not, but he never told me that he lost, so... He must be undefeated, right? And had an incredible career in the Navy. For years, he served on the Admiral's yacht, so he got to go fishing. And he was a great blessing to our country. And along with the Admiral's yacht, he would take VIPs out, Dean Martin, some names you guys probably don't even know. And but he had free access to the alcohol, and it was high quality stuff. And my dad had struggled with alcohol, and so growing up, you know, there's a lot of chaos in the house. Dad wasn't probably the best dad that he could be, but one thing I do remember, he's one of the hardest working men, the faithful men. He didn't cheat on my mom. He was honest. And when I was about 12 years old, it got so bad that he got cirrhosis of the liver. His liver started shutting down. He's drinking like a gallon of alcohol a day. And those of you who have alcohol in your home, you know what I'm talking about. It can be difficult. And he came back there, and he had an experience with God. And to me, when my dad came home, and he was a dad and not a drunk, was the day that I started living. And you know what? It takes a courageous man to make a change like that in his life. To me, he'll always be a hero. He brought to me at that time the greatest gift that you can give to your children and the greatest gift that you'll ever experience in your life. And that is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I found out that day that Jesus could wash my sins away. And he would take all the guilt and shame away from my life and created a new person in this 12-year-old boy. And so my dad's a legend. He turned his life around. He stopped drinking. He started telling me that he loved me. He started understanding what it meant to be a good dad, a godly dad. He started blessing me and watching out for me. You know, he stopped being the critical dad. You know, I had a friend of mine who he'd yell at his kids all the time, and he'd point out their flaws, and I'm like, man, why do you do that to your kids? Like, why are you always so negative? And he's like, well, that's how I show them I love them. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I want them to grow up to be strong and not make the stupid mistakes that I made. And so he'd spend all his time with his kids pointing out their flaws. And all that did was grind them to nothing. It reminds me of the old saying that the beatings will continue until the attitude changes, right? And but my dad's a blessing. He's a hero. He changed his life around. He changed the direction and destiny of our family, right? Because of him finding God and bringing salvation to us as a family. And that's the greatest gift that we can have. You know, as my dad gets older, he turns more into a robot. Knee replacement surgeries, you know, that sort of a thing. You know, we joke around all the time. Dad, you're more robot than you are human anymore. But I've never gotten so many I love you sons and so many blessings from that man. And you know what? There was a time when I didn't have that. And I want to talk to you today about how to be a legend, right? Because legendary dads and legendary people accomplish things that are way above human. They're a legend. They accomplish things that no man could ever possibly accomplish. And I want to tell you, inside of each and every one of you is a seed of God. Whether it grows or not, that's what we're going to be talking about. But inside of you, there is greatness. The God of the universe, who made everything that has been and everything that will be, has planted a seed inside of you. And your potential is unlimited. You can be a legend, not because of your abilities, but you can be legendary in God. So one of the greatest scriptures when it comes to a blessing, a father's blessing, we're going to take a look at right away. It's Genesis 49, 22 through 28. We're going to put it up on the screen for you. This is one of the legends of faith. Abraham, Isaac, and... All right, you passed the first test. Good. You're on a roll. I'd give, you know, so far you got some more answers to go, but right now you're about 33%, so keep up the good job. So Jacob had the 12 tribes of Israel, right? He had 12 boys, and Joseph was one of them. Joseph got lost. He didn't know where he went. And so at the end of Jacob's life, he's blessing his sons. He's going through each one of them. And this is the blessing that he gives to Joseph. And I want you to take a close look at this. So Genesis 49, starting with verse 22, we're going to go through a few verses here. It says, you want to stand with me? I've been talking for a little bit. Come on, stand with me while we read God's word. Joseph is a fruitful vine, near a spring whose branches climb over the wall. With bitterness, archers attacked him. They shot him with hostility, but his bow remained steady. His strong arms stayed limber because the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. Because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you with blessing of the skies above, the blessings of the deep springs below, blessings of the breast of the womb. Your father's blessings are greater than the blessings of an ancient mountain, than the bounty of an age-old hills. Let all those rest on the head of Joseph, on the bow of the prince among his brothers. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning, he devours the prey. In the evening, he divides the plunder. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father said to them when he blessed them, giving each the blessing appropriate to them. Father God, today I ask you to give me the words to say, Lord, but I need you to move in power. These are your words to your people today, a timely word, Lord, that can change our perspective, that can change our lives. Father, I ask you to move among us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look at the person next to you and say, you're a legend. And then sit down. See, legends are men who are stronger than anybody else. Legends are people who accomplish things, great accomplishment. Legends have great reputation. Their reputation goes beyond, right, what the reality is. Their reputations are powerful. Legends have many times great wealth. Legends have confidence. Legends have ability. Legends have a good plan, right? Legends are full of knowledge. Legends are full of wisdom. Now, we talked about this. Those of you who are maybe here for the first time, we realize that we are in the midst. We have one foot planted in two different worlds, two different realities, right? The one foot is the one that everyone thinks that this is what life is really like, right? That's this physical world, this reality that we see. But we have an understanding because our foot's in the other, this other dimension, this spiritual dimension, right? Where things happen and you know, there's spirits and there's angels and there's demons and there's powers and authorities and there's this little inkling of things that, you know, we can't explain how they happen. But we live in two different dimensions, right? And the strength that we have, we see in this world. But the strength that we have in the Lord comes from this world. Are you following me? Anything that you accomplish in this world, right, on this side of things, they will not transfer into the eternal. Anything that you do here isn't going to mean anything in the future. If you're doing it just to impress people, if you're doing it, you know, for the fleshly reasons, if you're doing it just to have a great reputation, so that people think that you're strong, that you have a great name, these things won't last. But if you do things in this realm, in the spiritual realm, empowered by God, they are going to last eternally. This is what the Word of God says. In Zephaniah 4:6, it says, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." Our strength, legends are strong, but our strength comes from God. Our strength is in the Lord. It's not in our muscle. It's not in who we can influence. Our strength comes from our relationship with God. How strong is your relationship? I'm going to tell you, the whole world's going to pass away. You're going to be sitting at the end of life. You're going to transfer into the eternal. And if you don't, the only thing that is going to last is your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. Nothing else is going to matter. It's all going to burn up. The Word of God says this in Isaiah 41:10. "Fear not, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God's hand is what holds us up in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the storm of life, in the midst of relationships going foul, in the midst of investments going the wrong way. God is our strength. We do not have to be afraid because our relationship is built on Jesus Christ. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Do you understand the blessing and the power that you walk in? If you're trying to walk this life by yourself, your life is going to fall apart. You're going to be filled with fear. You know why? Because you don't know what's going to happen next. Because no one is in control of this world. If you're living over here in this world, circumstances and things happen that can crush your dreams. They can crush, you know, what you want to happen. They can crush your control. But when you're planted in God's side of it, it doesn't matter what happens in that world because God is with you. You know, I was listening to on our Alpha retreat, and one of the things that the guy said, just, it was like, yeah, I should say that, so I'm gonna. He said, you know, people are looking for happiness, right? They want to be happy. Do you want your children to be happy? Yeah, right? I want to be happy. You know, I got Snicker Bar coming. It's Father's Day. You know, happy, right? But the problem with happy depends on what happens. If things go right, you're happy. Things go wrong, you're not happy. Happiness comes and goes. It's not eternal. It's not something you can build your life on. Happiness is not something that you want to try to build your daily routine and walk on. But you know what is? The joy of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, right? The power and the walking and knowing God, that's eternal. That lasts. Because joy does not depend on what happens. Joy is a knowing that we are strong in the Lord. Joy comes in knowing that God is the one who is in control. He has a plan. My plan is in the Lord. My strength is in the Lord. The knowledge that I have is in the Lord. You know what makes that so great? Is I fail. So when I'm over here in this world and I mess something up good, I know I'm the only one. It's Father's Day. No one else is going to admit it. But I mess things up good, man. I have a temper sometimes. I say stupid things sometimes. I even burn pork chops sometimes. Right? But even if I do, I know that my life and my investment and my relationship is built over here, and that's where the strength of it is. It doesn't matter where what happens in this reality. It matters that I'm walking with God in a relationship with Him. That is my strength. Psalms 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" I don't care what happens in your life. I don't care if your life is falling apart. You turn your eyes towards God. You trust the God who made the universe. You trust the God who you have a relationship with. And you are going to make it through any circumstance. I don't care if the world is against you. I don't care if death is crouching at your door. I don't care if everything is falling apart. When you're with the Lord, you are strong and mighty, and He has your life in His hands. He will not let you go. Hebrews 13:6 says, "So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" He is your helper. When you're here invested in the eternal, God is going to help you in those situations. But I don't know what to do. That's okay, because you don't have to. God knows what to do, because in the Lord you're strong. In all those circumstances, He is going to walk with you. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you in my righteous right hand." Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Dude, I can't do that. There's too many circumstances in life. That's an impossible situation. I can't possibly be a legend because I'm not good enough. Hey, watch out. You just put yourself in line for a miracle, because you can't do it. That's the good news. Wait, what? Yeah, the good news is that you can't do it, because He can. You're a legend in the Lord. God can accomplish whatever He calls you to do through Him. You can accomplish all things through Christ who gives you strength. Should I go on? Isaiah 40, 29-31. "He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength." You ever been weak? You ever have nothing left in the tank? You ever been in a situation that you're completely destitute? You don't know what's going to happen next? God loves you. He's going to take care of you. It says He will strengthen you. Impossible. I have no strength. How can He strengthen somebody who has no strength? Ask Him. Trust Him. He will be with you every step of the way. Even youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall be exhausted, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Do you realize the power of these promises? These aren't just words in a book. These aren't just words that you go and look up. These aren't just words that, oh man, that's a cool book of poetry, right? Did you ever notice when you read God's word and you start pulling out His promises that they become alive? They become active? Like, they give you courage? You ever read a book that just gives you inside strength? This is what walking with God is. This is what reading God's word is like. You say, "I'm empty," read God's word. You say, "I'm not strong enough," read God's word. Please, for God's sakes, read God's word. Trust in Him. I beg you, I implore you. Man, we talk, you know, our society in this world is filled with this suicide tendency that is just consuming people's lives. And I'm going to tell you, it breaks my heart because those people, they really have no hope. I don't condemn them for what they do. There's a lot better choices, don't get me wrong. But you know what? They're hopeless. They're helpless. You know what they need? They need a foundational relationship with Jesus Christ because he's the only thing I've found in life that can give you hope. God's word is alive and active, and it will strengthen you. It'll give you power. It'll change your mind. You can overcome anything through God and his word. But these people are dying without it. Does that consume you? Does that hurt you? Man, it pricks something inside of my heart. We're to be the light of this world. And there's people dying and having no idea that there's a God who is their helper, who is their father, who wants to help them and get them out of any situation. Lord, break my heart. Break the heart of your people for people who are lost and blind. Lord, we have so much compassion for people who don't have food, but the daily bread that comes from you has more nutrition than any loaf of bread. Father, break our hearts. Break our hearts for what breaks yours. John 15, 4 and 5 says, abide in me and I in you. Abide. You know what that means? That means be planted in, right? To get your nutrients from. Abide with God. Walk with him. Do you talk with God? How often do you talk with God? I want you to talk with God as you go throughout your entire day. He's got a plan, right? How would you like it if you would come to work, you know, and you wouldn't know what to do? You wouldn't know where to go, right? No one's given you instructions, right? I've been there before. It's kind of nice, actually. That's what some of you are thinking. Just sit there, right? But can you imagine you can't accomplish anything? There's no plan. Like, you're not checking. You don't have your checklist. You don't have your job description. Can you imagine if your life was completely not defined at all in your work? It'd be a mess, right? But it's the same way. Like, our primary relationship, our primary boss, our Lord, our King is Jesus Christ. And I think you ought to check in with them every once in a while, right? It used to be in my life, I would check in with them for every meal usually, right? And I might pray for them at the end of the day. Right? Like, I wasn't checking in with God at all, but God has a plan for you moment by moment, minute by minute. He wants to influence you and change your heart and your life day by day, moment by moment. Check in with God. Pray in the Spirit. Oh, I don't know how to pray. You know what? You pray just like you'd have a relationship with any other person in your life. You know what you do? You talk to them and you listen. It's not complicated. There's not degrees of prayer. Well, you know, there's not categories. Well, I need to pray this one if I'm hungry, and I need to pray this one. No, man, just pour your heart out to God. He loves you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to walk with you. Legends become legendary because of their faith in God. They don't become legends because of their strength, but their strength in the Lord. They don't become legends because of their accomplishment, because their accomplishment in the Lord. Legends become legendary because of their faith in God. But what about the accomplishments? And what about being strong? And what about the rest of that stuff? You want to be a legend, have faith in the Lord. You will be a legend. Legends, here's my take on this. Legends walk in personal reality with God. A personal reality. God is a person. God is real. Talk to him. He is reality. He is the eternal reality is in God, not in this world. The second thing is, have humble faith that relates God to every aspect of your life. Humility is a huge part. The day that I realized that I'm not God, and that he is, was a huge day in my life. I used to think I was God. I controlled all the things, you know what I mean? Like, this is my plan, and this is what I'm going to do, and then I'm going to go to college. And I created God in my own image, right? I was like, I'm the one who's in control. But the day that I realized that, guess what? I'm not in control at all, took a lot of pressure off me. Right? Because then it's God's responsibility to fulfill the purpose of my life. Right? And I can count on him. What we need to do is trust God in practical situations. I see so many people, the first hint of trouble, they don't turn to the Lord. They turn to their own strength, their own reasoning. Well, let's see. I can get out of this problem. All I have to do is a little algebra. Right? No, man, in practical situations, lean and trust in the Lord. Depend on God in a crisis, because guess what? You're going to be in one. Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have many troubles. Depend on God in a crisis. Don't run from God. Man, I used to do that. When trouble came, I used to just run from God and try to figure it out myself. Don't do that. That's a fool's path. That's a fool's way of living. Turn to God quickly, because here's what happens. I'm going to save you a ton of grief. When I try to do it on my own and I try to come to the right conclusion and I'm working hard, man, I'm sweating, I'm reading books, and I'm trying to figure out, trying to manipulate people. Well, if I tell them this or if I don't tell them that, right, if I leave out this little piece or maybe if I really go out and sell them, right, I got all this stuff, but you know what happens? It never works out. So what happens then? What do I do? Well, I guess I'll pray. Right? Because God loves us. He's in a relationship with us. He's going to let our lives fall apart until we join up with him. Because he cares for us. He wants us to be there. So stop trying to do it yourself, man. Just go straight to God. That's a simple way of doing it. That's the way that you need to do it. Realize that God is not only your God, but the God of your children. I'm going to dump some truth in someone's lap right there. The blessing that Jacob gave is that he said, this has been my God. My God has blessed me. But you know what? I'm going to make my God your God. And I'm like, you can do that? My children made a lot. They made some bad choices in life, Dean. My kids, they messed it up almost as bad as I met. Well, it's comparable. Right? You know, they've made some bad choices. God, they rejected God. Well, no. See, the blessing is that our God is our children's God. That's what the scripture says. Train up a child in the way that they go. Right? And God will be faithful to them. So what we have to do is realize and give this blessing. Hey, guess what, children? My God is your God. He's your God. He's not, don't rely on the God of your father, rely on your God, because I give you my God. It is your inheritance. It is your blessing. Our children's blessing is found in the Lord. Realize God is not only your God, but the God of your children. And realize that God sustains you daily. Here we go. We're going to go back to Genesis 49:28, I want to remind you what he said, because I want you to have a blessing today. It says, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father said to them when he blessed them, giving each of them a blessing appropriate to him. See, legends do three simple things in their relationships. Number one, they recognize people's strengths and tell them. Jacob blessed his children, each one according to each child. You need to recognize people's strengths and tell them what their strengths are. Like I said, I used to, and especially my friend, he would see all the negative things in the person. He'd want to correct him by saying, oh, don't do that. Oh, you know, you're making a mistake there. Oh, you know, you could have done that better. Did I ever tell you the time when my daughter Mariah, my youngest daughter, she wanted to help doing housework, and I was in a hurry, so I'm like, yeah, sure, you can just sweep the floor, right? So she's sweeping the floor, and she's, I don't know, she's really young. I don't remember how old she was, maybe six. That's my wife, Linda. She's in the front row. She knows everything. I know nothing. And so, you know, I'm doing my stuff. Linda's doing her stuff, and I come back, and Mariah's, she's so proud. She's got the dustpan in her hand and the broom, and she's like, Dad, how did I do? No. Take it back. That scene didn't happen. I come in the room. I look around. Guess what? There's still dirt in the corner. Right? Because she's six. She doesn't know how to sweep. So I grab the broom. I say, "Oh, you missed a little spot here. Missed a little spot over here." And she's standing. I can see the heartbreak in her eyes. And she says, "Dad, I just can never do it good enough for you." Whew, that still tears me up. Because of me pointing out faults, she thought that she wasn't good enough. Man, I tell you what, my world came to a stop in the middle of that kitchen on Brookview Drive. I'm like, "Honey, you're good enough. You're good enough. You did a great job." And guess what? When I asked her to do something next time, I don't care if she did the worst job in the whole world. It looked perfect. Because I was not going to have my daughter walk away thinking, "Oh man, I'm not good enough." So recognize people's strengths and tell them. Don't tell them the negative side of things. What were the attributes in my daughter that she brought forth to me that she was saying? She's saying, "Dad, I love you. I want to help. Dad, how can I be a part of this family? How can I bless you, Dad?" Right? I needed to acknowledge that attitude and that loving spirit. Right? I need to acknowledge how she wanted to accomplish something. Nobody had it. How many kids come up to you and say, "Hey, Dad, how can I help?" Christian, you do that all the time. Walk around the house and say, "Hey, can I help? Let me clean out. Can I take that garbage out, please?" Right? Things that teenagers never say. Right? "Hey, I'm going to fill up the tank before I bring the car back. Is that okay?" Ever hear a teenager say that? No, I haven't yet. "Okay, do you mind? Can I fill it all the way up? Just like not half. Like, you know. Hey, Mom and Dad, I'm going out on a date. Let me give you some money." You ever hear a kid say that? Never. Not once have I heard a teenager say that, right? "Hey, would it be okay if I came home a little early? I know curfew is 10, but I'd like to be home by 9:30, if that's okay with you." Right? "Hey, before I do anything else, I know my friend wants to come and play, but can you tell him no so I can do my homework?" Right? You never hear your kids say that. What? Are you taking notes back there, Christian? Yeah, good. Right? Realize there's power in your words and proclaim and prophesize people's future. You want to be a legend? Do you want to be a blessing? Do you want to be the person that can make an influence and have a positive influence in people's lives? Stop telling them what they can't do and tell them what they can do. Tell them what you see inside of them. People that you work with. I've worked with some horrible people, Dean, right? But you know what? There's always something good inside of them. There's always something good that they have a natural affinity to that they know how to do. Some of them are hard workers. They have a horrible attitude. Some of them are horrible workers, but they have a great attitude. Right? Point out the good and tell them that God can accomplish great things through that strength that he's planted in their life. Recognize the power of your word. Proclaim and prophesy people's future. Tell them that they can accomplish great things. Tell them that God has a plan for their life, that God is not going to fail them. You can say this. You can do this. "Well, I'm not a father." No, but you're an influencer because you have Jesus Christ in your life. Start telling people what they can do and stop telling them what they can't do. You have to have a fundamental belief in your heart and in your life that God has a plan for your own personal life before you can bless somebody else's. People who are negative towards the world and don't believe they can accomplish much, they don't bless much. There aren't big dreams that get accomplished out of people who are empty. If there's nothing inside of you, then you aren't going to be able to contribute or to pour forth. But legends do it. But how do they do it? They do it by faith in God. They do it by walking with Jesus Christ. They do it by having their cup full of the presence and the relationship of Jesus Christ. Because when you're empty, you got nothing to pour out. But when you're full, it's going to pour out wherever you go, right? You ever fill your cup too full and start walking around the living room? You got water all over the place, or in my case, Diet Coke, right? When it's full, it's going to spill out on everybody. When you're excited about the Packers and they just won, and they just scored a touchdown, where does all that excitement go? All over everyone in that room. High five. Yeah! Right? Aaron Rodgers. Wow, did you see that? Devontae Adams. Wow, that's awesome. Right? It spills out all over everything. But that's what our relationship with Jesus Christ should be. He has blessed you. He's called you. He walks with you. He talks with you. He's got you covered. Right? And when things like that happen, it should spill out on everybody. It's not just on... You know, it's not just on certain people. It's wherever you're at, wherever you go. A lot of us are, I'm afraid to be a witness. I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't want to talk about God. People are going to think I'm weird. You know what? When you're so full of the relationship with God, it will spill out. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to share out of guilt. You don't have to share out of shame. You don't have to share out of obligation. When your cup is full, it's going to come out. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about being ashamed. Man, when you're in love with your wife, when you're in love with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, are you ashamed with them? Are you trying to hide them? No, you're taking them out and say, look it, man, I'm with you. Yeah, let's have some fun, right? This is going to be awesome because you're in this relationship with your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, and wife, and you're proud of them. You love them, right? You don't go around hiding them behind you. Well, okay, we're going to go to the mall now, but if you could just stay 10 steps behind me, would that be okay with you? I'm just a little embarrassed that we're together, right? No! A loving, godly relationship isn't that at all, because when you're in love, you know, and I know some of you are like, well, I'm just not in love that much. I just don't know if I'd love God that much. Let me tell you something. Here's the key to it. This will completely change your life. Admit that you can't do it, that you're not in love. Admit it to God, pray to Him, bring your emotions to Him. I feel like our relationship isn't good enough, God. I feel like that I'm ashamed and I'm afraid it's going to be awkward if I mention to someone, Lord, help me. He will. You get into God's Word and He's going to fill your cup and it's going to change your reality. You're going to stop walking in this world and you're going to start walking in this world. Recognize the power of your words. Bless your children. We're going to do a little bit of child blessing here in a little, before when we finish. Oh, let's see. I lost where I am, Jimmy. It's unforgivable sin when you're preaching. Legends, bless your children. Let's get into this a little bit. See, when you say that my God is your God, you change the identity and the stance of the relationship from being a position of, hey, it's what our family always does, you're part of a Christian family, to, hey, I'm going to give you this blessing, and God's identity and God's blessing is on your life because He's your God. It's your God that helps you. Within that blessing that we read, that Jacob blesses Joseph, He says, my God is now your God. The inheritance that I have in my God is now the inheritance that you have within your God. God is no longer someone who stands off. It is no longer someone who is separated by tradition or by circumstance. Suddenly, God becomes a personal thing to you. You're going to go through some difficult times, but you will survive and your God will strengthen you. There's a verse in there. It talks about how the archers, remember it says he's prophesying over Joseph and he's given him a blessing and says, the archers, out of anger, you were shot. You were shot. You were impaled, right? That you had difficulties. You had things going on. Like, you know, don't try to sugarcoat life to your children. Tell them that there's going to be failure, right? You're impaled. You're going to limp. There's going to be difficulties and things that happen to you that are going to be very difficult to get through. But the blessing from the Father is that He says that my God, who is now your God, will strengthen your hands, and you'll pull back the bow, and you'll destroy your enemies. It's not that we don't get shot as Christians, and not that we don't fall as Christians. It's not that our lives are perfect as Christians. It's that our God, who is strong, who has strong hands, pulls the bow back and strengthens us by His might. That's why living humbly before God and saying, I don't have the strength to do this, I don't have the power to do this, can be accomplished because of God's hands is on the bow with yours, and He's pulling it back and releasing it. You don't have to rely on your own strength. You will survive, and your God will strengthen you. Here's another way to bless your children. You will be fruitful and not only be blessed, but bless those around you. Not success, but fruit. I want you to understand, Joseph didn't, when Jacob blessed his son Joseph, he didn't say, you're going to be successful. He compared him to a vine that would grow huge, and this vine would do one thing that's very interesting. It would grow over the top of the wall. Why would he say that? Right? Is he talking about success? No, he's talking about fruitfulness. Do you understand the difference? I think a lot of times in life we want our kids to be happy and successful. Well, happy and successful are all part of this dying world. Right? Because happy depends on what happens, and success depends on what happens right here. But guess what? There's something that God implies and gives it as a blessing to us and our children. It's called being fruitful. Being fruitful means that we have fruit to eat. Yeah, that's awesome. But we also have fruit that grows over the wall that blesses other people. Right? Someone who is rich is not necessarily fruitful. Some of the poorest people have the joy of the Lord inside their hearts, and they're fruitful, and they have the love of God. Circumstance doesn't mean anything. Success doesn't mean anything. That's why the blessing was fruit. Bear fruit in your lives. That's God's intention. That's God's blessing to His children, that we would bear much fruit. You're going to be battle tested. Remember, without battles or trials, you cannot have victory. You can't have victory unless something falls apart, unless you need the Lord, unless He proves Himself faithful. Look, I'm going to be straight up, difficult. There can be difficult times. There can be things when your life's completely falling apart. Sickness in your body, sickness in relationships. I mean, life, you know, Linda and I have had to go through some things even with our own family, you know, brothers and sisters, and suddenly we're taking care of nieces and nephews without any warning, without any plan. And here we are in the midst of it, and then we're fighting with them, and we're trying to take care of their children, and we're mad at them because they weren't faithful in being a parent, and we're in the middle of this family conflict that is just difficult. But guess what? God does not give up on us or give up on the circumstance in the midst of a battle. We're all going to go through battles. We're going to be battle tested. But guess what? Remember, without battles or trials, you cannot have victory, and God is going to bring the victory. Can I get an amen? God is going to bring the victory. How? I don't see it. That's okay. God is faithful. Last blessing is you'll be strong and overcome, not in your own strength, but in your God's strength. We don't overcome by our own power. We don't overcome by our own intelligence. We don't overcome by our own plan. We don't overcome by our own scheming. We overcome through Jesus Christ. I remember I was a young man, and a pastor came to our church. It was an evangelist came to our church at the time, and he started talking about the Father's blessing. And my dad didn't know how to give a blessing. His father died before he had ever given a blessing. And I never felt like I received God's blessing, but I was living in a fake world where I was just going to fake it and act like everything's perfect. You know, Christians a lot of times get blamed for wearing masks and being hypocrites. That's not our church. We're real. We live in reality. That is who we are. But at that time of my life, I was a little bit faking it. Because I didn't want anybody to know that I was vulnerable, that I had problems, right? That I didn't have God's blessing. And he starts preaching about it, and he's like, anyone who wants a blessing of the Father, God's blessing on your life, why don't you come forward? And I'm like, I'm good, right? And then Russ Hermes usually sits right where Brett is. You guys might have to wrestle it out for your seat next week, just, you know. He's kind of a big guy. I put my money on Brett, though. He looks a little wily. Anyway, Russ grabs me and drags me down to the front. I'm like, all right, well, looks like I'm getting blessed. You have friends like that? You need one. Get one. Get a friend who's going to grab you by the arm and bring you to the altar, right? Russ brings me down there, and I'm thinking, man, this just doesn't mean anything to me. It's nice that everyone else needs their blessing from the Father. And all of a sudden, he sticks his hand in the air, and he's like, I bless you. You know, those who have been fatherless, who've never received God's blessing, I bless you right now in the name of Jesus. Dude, some power came on me from the Lord, and it broke me. Just broke me. I mean, I just started crying, sobbing. Like Toy Story 2 sobbing. Like, I remember watching Toy Story 2 with my daughter, and, you know, at first it starts as a little cry. I don't know why Toy Story 2 gets me. You have a movie that gets you? I usually don't cry, and I'm sitting there, and it's the end of the movie, and my daughter's looking at me, Dad, are you crying? And I'm like, trying to hold it in. No. I was up at that altar crying because I so needed God's blessing because I didn't get it from my dad. And man, I'll tell you, something changed in me and I did need God's blessing. So today I'm going to give you that same gift. We're going to pray for God's blessing on your life. How does that sound? You want to walk out of here today with God's blessing? All right, stand up. So the position to receive a blessing can be a number of different ways. This is not one of them, right? Either raise your hands up to the air to receive, raise your hands here. At least get your hands out of your pockets. That's all I'm saying. Well, I've received blessing. Do whatever you want. Let's pray. God intends to bless you. Today, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you. For those who have never had a father, I want you to know that God's eyes are on you. He has never left you. He will not forsake you. He is your God. He has been through difficult times with you, and he will not forsake you. For God says, I am your God. I will strengthen you. For those of you who maybe didn't receive an appropriate blessing from your dad, maybe your dad never talked about it. He was a great example. But he didn't bring the spiritual reality to you. Today I give you this blessing. I bless you that God is your friend, that God is the one who walks beside you. God is a God who cares for you. He will make you strong. He will go with you no matter where you go. I pray for those who maybe turned down their father's blessing. I pray for those who've been obstinate and walked away from their father. It's time to come home. That's what I have to say to you. It's time to come home. If you're in a situation that you've walked away from God, that you made bad choices and you just think that you aren't good enough, I want you to know that God is calling for you today. He's speaking your name. He's saying, come home. If that's you today, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And we'll all do it together. I want you to say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I repent. I went the wrong way. I made bad choices. But you say that you love me. I repent, I turn. I accept your love. I make you today my God. In Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you that you're not a God who's distant, but you're a God who's close. I thank you that you're not a God who we need to follow all the rules so that we can be perfect, that you really care about our heart, not our conduct. Father, I ask that every person here today would walk away with your blessing, with your inheritance. Lord, that you would bless them as they go into this world, that they would have a good plan in you, that they would be knowledgeable in you, that they would walk humbly before you. Father, I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for sending Jesus Christ that washes my sin away. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Jimmy, is there anything that you wanted to say? Otherwise, we have our photo booth. Take your dad, even if he's not here. Take a picture on Father's Day. It'd be a cool thing. There's some Snicker bars in the back. You're not going to want to miss them. And thank you so much for coming today. Walk with the King and be a blessing. Love you guys.